All right. One of the things, if you know much about me, you know that on vacation or any excuse I come up with not to shave is a good excuse. And so generally I don't shave on vacation. And for the last week and a half or so, while I wasn't while the warden wasn't allowing me out of the house or anything, I didn't shave. And I've taken quite a bit of grief because my family is colorblind. They seem to think that my blonde beard was gray. I'm gonna have have all their eyes checked this week because they don't know their colors. Either they're blind or they don't know their colors. One of the two. But I got a little bit of comfort about that yesterday, and this will do all of you, I think, a little bit of good. I overheard a little boy, and I didn't hear the beginning of the conversation, but I did find out in a few moments that the little boy was 6 years old. And the lady that was talking to him about gray hair. And he said, "Oh, I don't have any gray hair yet. I'm not 12 yet." And she said, "So 12 is the age you get gray hair?" He says, "Yeah, and I'm only 6. For those of you wrestling with gray hair, you can tell people, "Hey, I'm only 12. And so maybe that'll help you. One of the signs, I think, of age is gray hair. And if that's the case, Archie's 130. He's missed me. I got to make up for a week. There are quite a few signs of getting old besides gray hair. I came across a list that was entitled 51 Signs You're Getting Older, the large print edition. I thought it was pretty cool. There were quite a few on there that I don't know whether you say amen or oh me, but there were several on there pretty good. Number one, I think, may sum it all up. Said everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. I think that one may sum up the whole aging process. The gleam in your eyes is the sun hitting your bifocals. You can take that, the hit dog barks is all I know. Your little black book contains only names that end in N-B. That one's a good one. You look forward to a dull evening. One of them was, you'd rather go to work than stay home, and then call in sick. I don't know about that one. I'm not sure about that one. Few of you guys in here can identify with this one. Most of us in here, we don't have a lot, but one of them said you're 17 around the neck, 42 around the waist, and 95 around the golf course. I'll let y'all figure out who that one applies to. Your back goes out more than you do. Your pacemaker makes the garage doors go up when you see a pretty girl. This one, man, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, be careful. The little old gray-haired lady you help across the street is your wife. You might want to be, Martin, you know, that look on your face right now, you're just... Yeah, the first few, Martin, that one, you just... I wish y'all could have seen what I seen on his face just then. But I believe my favorite one was you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay. There are all kinds of signs of aging, all kinds of signs of a lot of things around us. One last one, you have a party and your neighbors don't even realize it. That's pretty bad when that happens. Here's one, and I don't know if this is age or maybe the geography of where you are, your hometown is. You wear black socks with sandals. That may do with geography. That's geography more than... We're all thinking it, Matt, whether you are... We're all thinking that's a New York thing, not an age thing. You can say whatever you want to, but that's New York, New Jersey. That's more than age. But there are a lot of signs, of age. But as I thought about that, I was thinking about some other signs. There are certain things I think we look for in people that identify certain traits about them. One of the things that we see in the Bible that I want us to look at this morning are signs of submissiveness. What does it look like when we are submissive? What does it look like when we are obedient to God? One of the ways that we could approach this issue of submission is that I could stand up here and talk about how to be obedient. But I really don't think that's necessary. We all know, we've learned, most of us in here this morning have learned from a very early age how to be obedient. We haven't always been good at it, but we've been taught from a very early age to be obedient. Our parents taught us. We have learned that. Some people seem to think, well, that's a difficult thing, but it's really not if you think about how submissive we are. Already are. How we have already been, trained, how we are already submissive to so many things. First thing we do, for the most part, when we get in our car, is the government said put on the seat belts. We put on the seat belt. We've been trained. We submit to that. They tell us, when you go down the road, you drive 35 miles an hour. And for the most part, we drive 35 miles an hour. We have become so accustomed. We have become so oriented, I don't know about you, but one of the things that I despise is to get on a road that does not have a speed limit sign on it. That just makes me, that just worries me. I know that when you come into town, the sign says speed limit 35 unless otherwise posted. Now, I know what I think that means, but what always worries me is I don't know what the guy with the ticket book thinks that means. Whatever it is, just go ahead and put up the speed limit sign and tell me what it is so I know how to break it. That's not true. I've got pretty good about following the speed limit. I figured out I don't get there any quicker. And so, they hand us a pill bottle and say take one pill twice a day. And we don't question it. We go, okay, you take a pill. We know how to be submissive. There are all kinds of rules and regulations that we follow on a daily basis without even so much as questioning those rules. We just obey them. So we know how to be submissive. So I don't need to stand here this morning and tell you how to be submissive to God. It really boils down to a simple statement. Do what he says. It's that simple. You do what God says. Whether it's through his word, whether he speaks to your heart, whether he reveals his will to you, in whatever way you are obedient to what God says to you. Now, the real question comes is, what does that look like? Well, what would it look like if somebody truly submitted themselves to God? If someone genuinely gave themselves over and said, you know what? I am going to be obedient to God. What would that look like? Reality is, I think most of us have seldom have ever seen that. We don't see that happen very often in our world, where somebody just sells themselves out and says, you know what? I am going to obey God. I am going to do what God says. I know what culture says. I know what's popular. I know what everybody else is doing. I know all those things, but I'm going to be obedient to God. I think there's one story in the Bible that displays that better than probably any other story in the entire Bible. And that's in Genesis 22. Many of you already turned there. And it's the familiar story. It's the story of Abraham and Lot. It's the story that most of us look at, and to be honest, we look at it and we just shake our head. We just don't even know where to begin trying to wrap our minds around this story of God saying to a father, go sacrifice your son, and that father saying, okay. And that's basically what you get. When you read this passage, God says to Abraham, hey, I want you to go sacrifice your son, your only son, on an altar. Let me remind you, when God said to sacrifice him, I don't know that there's a good way to sacrifice. Caleb and I have discovered on Saturday night, they're showing the old Batman. I mean the original 1960. And last night, Batman and Robin was in a situation, and Robin says, golly, Batman, we could have been killed. And Batman said, or worse. I don't know that there's a worse sacrifice if you're sacrificing your son. Yeah. But let me explain to you what this meant. If you remember, because we don't live in a sacrificial system, what this meant was Abraham was going to have to take his son, his only son, and not just kill him, but then to proceed to cut him up into small pieces and place those pieces, for a lack of a better word, but a way that most of us will understand, lay them on a grill and build a fire under that grill and burn up those pieces. And Abraham says, okay, I'll do it. Most of us can't wrap our mind around that story. I've got to be honest with you. I can't imagine God saying to me, hey, over there's a total stranger. Go cut them up in little pieces and burn them up, much less one of my children. But Abraham says, I'll do it. What are the signs of submission we learn in Abraham's life? I challenge you this morning as we look at these to ask yourself, are these showing up in my life? Am I being submissive to God? Most of us, we sing wherever He leads, I'll go. We talk about doing His will, but the real question this morning is do we? What does it look like? And are these signs showing up in our life? I want you to notice what for me is one of my favorite passages of Scripture in all the Word of God. Matter of fact, this whole story, there are several things in it that I love. I know some of you, I've preached on this passage before, but it's just one that God just draws me back to, because the lessons there are so rich. First sign that is there that I notice is in this story when God says, Abraham. And Abraham says, well, here am I. Behold, here I am. You know, the first sign of submission is recognizing the voice of the Master. You know, Abraham didn't say, who's that? You know, well, let's be honest. You know, if we're sitting around, and I don't know what Abraham was doing. The Bible doesn't tell us if he was out tending his flock, if he was polishing his shoes, if he was taking a nap. But in whatever he was doing, God says, Abraham. And Abraham immediately recognizes the voice of his Master. Now, I've used before the illustration, and I believe this, I don't think this is much of an exaggeration. I've said this before, you could take a mother, and you could set her on the 50-yard line at the Panther Stadium. You could take that stadium, and I don't even know how many of the holes, 60, 70,000, I don't know. You could fill that stadium with children. You could put that mother's child in the top row in the cheap seats on the worst end of that stadium available, and you could let that little child go, and mom would go, you okay, baby? Yeah, and you know, just pick her child right out of that crowd. Yeah, she knows that child's voice. See, that relationship. I think about, I can tell y'all, I've got four children. The first night we brought David home from the hospital, David woke up, cried during the night. As far as I know, the next 27 years now, he slept through the night. As far as I know, that's all I know. You know, as far as I know, Caleb's never woke up. Some of y'all agree, you'd think that he still hadn't woke up. Maria, good baby. 19 years, she sleeps through the night. Never a bit of trouble. Tenzi's a different story. First night we brought her home from China, she's in the middle of the night, screamed like Death Hatter. I thought I was going to do, you know, that baby going to need another daddy because I'm going to have a heart attack. You know, she screamed like Death Hatter. And she has not. There hasn't been, you know, Kenzie does not. Kenzie's one, you know, you've heard that saying about if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, if Kenzie ain't sleeping, ain't nobody sleeping. Yeah, because she wants to, you know, when Kenzie wakes up, everybody gets up. You know, see, you know, nothing like being woke up by an angry Asian looking you about this close to the eyes, going, "Daddy, I'm hungry." You know, and you know, I get woke up a lot of Saturdays that way. You know, but you know, I just, you know, we've been in bed before, and all of a sudden, I'd jump up and go, "What's wrong?" Tenzi coughed. "What?" You know, some of y'all been to our house. Tenzi sleeps on the other end of the house. You know, around the corner. Rhonda keeps wanting me to cut out a door and make another door into her room. I'm like, "Why? You could hear her from the moon." You know. She just recognizes that voice. That there's something in a mother's DNA. You know, there's something. And I'm not saying no father has it. I'm not saying every mother has it. But I think most of you will agree that's kind of a mama thing. You know, the mamas just look at them. "You don't look good, baby. You okay?" Daddy's like, "Put a jacket on and send them to school." You know, I said, that's just, you know, there's just a difference. What is it? I don't know, but I want to tell you something. If you're going to be submissive to God, the first thing that's got to happen is you got to know His voice. How can I submit to Him if I don't know His voice? How can I submit to Him? I got to know His voice to know what He wants. I got to know His voice to know what He's saying. I got to know His voice to hear His word. If I don't know His voice, if I don't recognize His voice, then how in the world am I going to be able to submit? And so the question boils down to this, one that was posed to me many years ago, one that I wrestle with, one that you need to wrestle with, is when is the last time you heard from God? Sign of submission, he recognized His voice. Second thing that he did, second sign, and it builds on this, when he recognized His voice, he responded to unclear directions. See, let's be honest. Let's go back to that mother, child, father, child example. My mother calls the house. She doesn't introduce herself. "Hello, Jimmy. This is Sue, your mother." You know, she doesn't. She just starts fussing. You know, introduce yourself. I know her voice. And I got to be honest with you. As well as I know her voice, sometimes I don't want to listen to her. I'm just being honest. You know, hey, after 49 years, I'm good at it. You know, as well as I know her voice, you know, that's my mother, and, you know, yeah, you know, lay the phone down and keep watching it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure, just because I recognize her voice doesn't mean that I'm always going to do what she says. You know, it's not a secret. Most of you that know me, most of you that have children, you know, that's not, you know, just because, you know, there are a lot of times our children recognize our voice and just ignore us. You know, they pay us no attention. You know, you can say, "Hey, supper's ready," and, you know, here they come. You know, you say, "Hey, the garbage needs taken out," and you can't find them with Sherlock Holmes and a pack of hound dogs. You know, you just can't find them. You know, the second sign of submission is not enough to know His voice. Listen, most of us pick up the Bible, and most of us in this room, we accept, we acknowledge the Bible is the Word of God. Doesn't mean we always obey it, does it? Abraham responds to unclear directions. Now notice what God says to him. He says, "Go to the land of Moriah," and he gives him granted. He gives him some direction. You're going to offer your son as a burnt offering, but he tells him, "Go to the land of Moriah. Get in the right zip code, Abraham. Get in the right zip code. Once you've done that, then I'll give you the rest of your directions." See, these are not. Listen, I got to be. You can, and I know some people might disagree with me and say, "Oh, those are very clear directions. Offer up your son as a sacrifice." Hey, as a father, that's not clear to me. I don't get it. I'm telling you right now. I'd like to stand up here and tell you all about my faith, but I can tell you right now, if God speaks to me today and He says, "Jimmy, take your oldest son, your son David, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice," first words out of my mouth is going to be, "Huh? He's bigger than I am." You know? What are you talking about, burnt sacrifice? You know? You do know he's the golden child, right? You know his mama will kill me, correct? You do know if I'm obedient to this, you've got to find me a new place to live. You know, this is not, I don't care what, it may seem clear, but let's be honest. If God comes along and says, Debbie, I want you to offer up Dan as a sacrifice, I got a question or two, don't you? And you know what the Bible says to jump ahead in the very next verse? The Bible says Abraham rose up early. I'd have slept in that day, folks. Sign of submission. Now, let me say something. God's not always unclear. He told Jonah specifically, go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah didn't obey. But God doesn't always give us all the details. One of the signs of submission is being willing to get in the car and go. I used to do this when the kids were all home and small. I'd go and I'd say, anybody want to go with me? What's the first question they ask? Where are you going? My response, don't worry about it, just trust me. I didn't get takers very often. Caleb was the only one weak enough to get in the car generally. Yeah. And he always figured if I was going sooner or later, I was stopping somewhere to eat, he better be alone. One of the signs of submission to God is that we're willing to be obedient without all the facts. God doesn't all, God says to you, listen, there are a lot of men and women who are on the mission field around this world who will tell you that God called them to be a missionary, but he never told them specifically where he was going to send them. Now, granted, there will be some who will tell you, I knew all my life I was going to be a missionary to Spain, whatever, I don't know. But some will tell you, I just knew God was calling me to be. Some will just tell you, listen, I knew God was calling me to serve him somewhere. I just had to agree to serve. I didn't know doing what. I didn't know where. I didn't know how. I just had to agree to the first step, to serve. Once I agreed to serve, then he told me to be a missionary. Once I agreed to be a missionary, then he told me where. One of the signs of submission is saying, God, I'm going to follow you even when I don't have all the details. When the directions are unclear. He responded to unclear directions. He reacted to unpleasant directions. He rose up early. I got to be honest with you. There's a lot more scripture I don't understand than I do. I'm just going to, if you've been in this church long, you've walked up to me at some point and said, Jimmy, I was reading my Bible and I come across this verse. What does it mean? And I've looked you in my, square in your eye with all my liberty education and said, I don't know. There's a lot of it I don't understand. But one of the passages in all the Bible that in all honesty is the simplest, I don't understand. And that's the day after God told Abraham, go sacrifice your son, that he got up early. He didn't just respond to unclear. He reacted to unpleasant directions. It's not, one of the signs of submission is not just going where you don't understand, but it's doing what you don't like. Sometimes you have to be nice to people that are not very nice. Sometimes you have to witness to people who are different than you. Sometimes you have to love the unlovable. I think that's one of the things that the church has to understand. God willing, and this has been brewing on my heart, I don't do this very often, I'll give you a week's heads up. If God allows it and it continues to develop, I'm going to preach a message, I think next week, that can radically transform us as a church and as Christians, and that's it's time we quit going to church and start being the church. And sometimes, God calls us to do stuff that we don't like. I would dare say if you go ask most of the men and women on the mission field, what do you think of this country you're in? Oh, we love the people, but this country stinks. These circumstances, our living conditions are horrible. What you going to do for the rest of your life? We're going to stay right here and witness. We're going to do what God called us to do. You ever heard missionaries who come home and talk about that? They'll talk about the living conditions. They'll talk about the country. They'll talk about the politics. They'll talk about all those things. But then eventually they'll get around to talking about how much they love the people and love the work. Unpleasant. When's the last time you were doing... most of us, let's be honest, we sing that old song, wherever he leads, I'll go. Knowing, Right then, every time we sing Wherever He Leads, I'm going to start looking at Archie's list. And every time he's got Wherever He Leads, I'll Go planned, I'm going to preach online. Because we're lying. Most of us, when we sing Wherever He Leads, I'll Go, what we really mean is if He leads me where I wanted to go in the first place, I'll go. If He leads me somewhere I like, I'll go. You know, God needs me to be a missionary to Hawaii. Praise the Lord, I think I can serve Jesus. You know, He wants me to be a missionary in Bangalore. I don't got a passport. I can't go. You know, listen, you want to be submissive, you go when it's not pleasant. I'll give you an example. Negative example. Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go. What would we say about Jonah? Jonah didn't like the assignment. Jonah didn't like the people. Jonah didn't like what he had to do. So what did he do? He ran. Sign of submission is that we react to unpleasant directions. Next thing I notice in Abraham's life is he relied on the provisions of the master. I love this statement. Isaac wasn't a dummy. He didn't know everything's going on, but evidently somewhere along the way, Abraham has told Isaac, come on, we're going to offer up a burnt offering. And somewhere between the house and the mountain, Isaac gets to looking around and going, we didn't bring anything to sacrifice. Daddy, where is the lamb? And Abraham responds with one great statement, my God will provide Himself a lamb. Let me tell you, one of the sure signs of submission is when you got to the place and you're in a position or a predicament where all you can do is rely on the provisions of God. Sometimes God has to take us and put us in places where our resources are exhausted, where we don't have any more answers, where we don't have any more ways out, where there are no escape clauses. You know, years ago, when I first went to work for the bakery, I had to go over to Charlotte and meet with the guy in the garage and take a driving test. And one of the things we did was we went out and we drove a bread truck through the city of Charlotte. And he had me pull up in front of a little convenience store and park the truck. And I just wheeled her up there and parked her. And I remember Bill, and I think about this today every time, no matter where I drive. Bill, and the way I parked, in hindsight, wasn't that good. Bill says, now how are you going to get out of here? I'm going to throw it in reverse and run over what's in the way, I reckon. You know, Bill saying, always, when you park, before you park, figure out how you're getting out. Look to see what's behind you. Can you get out? I'm like that. I like to have a plan B. I like to know what our options are. You have never seen a mess till somebody at our house says, what do you want to eat? We like to have options. You've never truly had, till you've been to the point where you realize that the only thing I have is God, you've never truly been submissive. You've never truly been submissive. But then the final thing that I notice of all of this, some of you are sitting there going, man, I don't know about all this. This is some heavy stuff. I don't know if I'm ready to be submissive. I want to show you the final thing. He was rewarded for his efforts. You know the story. You know what happened. I don't know about you, but you must. Any of you still got the Bible, old Bibles? You know, all the old Bibles used to have every so often they would have the pictures in them that were like old paintings that had been reproduced. You know, I can still see clearly in my eye Bible I had as a child that had Abraham with Isaac laid back over his knee with his knife up like this and God coming down to stop him. Just as Abraham was about, I believe Abraham had the knife pulled out. I believe that painting's pretty close to accurate. Just as he was about to swing, God said, stop! Stop. God didn't need to know that Abraham trusted him. Abraham needed to know that Abraham trusted him. Abraham needed to know that God was sufficient. One of the reasons that God teaches us and desires us to be submissive to Him is that it's in that place that we learn that when He's all we have, He's all we need. That when He's all we have, He's all we need. You know, there's nothing much greater than the recognition and the realization that God has got my back. That He will never leave me nor forsake me, just like He said. That when my father and mother forsake me, He will take me up, just like He said. There's something about that learning in life that what He said when He said, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil because His rod and His staff, they comfort me. There's something about learning that truth that can only be found in submission, in learning to trust Him. Someone asked me and posed a question. I don't know what they asked me specifically, but I heard this question many years ago. And some of you have heard me say this before, but it's one that rings in my mind, rings in my heart on a fairly routine basis. It stuck with me. When is the last time that you can say, I was where God wanted me to be, doing what God wanted me to do, when God wanted me to do it? All three at the same time. See, some people, you know, I've told you before about my mother telling me to carry out the garbage and the first words out of my mouth, well, wait a minute. You know, it didn't matter what I was doing, just wait a minute. It was like a response. I mean, it was like being hit in the knee and your knee flying. She'd say, carry out trash. I'd say, wait a minute. I don't know why. Just deers. Rhonda would say I hadn't changed much. But, it's just a response. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, God, you know, listen, let's talk about Jonah. Jonah eventually ended up in Nineveh. Would most of us consider Jonah an obedient servant? Of course not. Why? Because he had to be beat to death to get him there. Where God wants you to do, doing what God wants you to do, when God wants us to do it. Question this morning, as our musicians come, are there any signs of submission showing up in our life? Would your coworkers, would your family, would your neighbors look at you and say, they've given their life over to God? They've given their life over to God. I often tell young couples when I'm counseling them before marriage, I say to them, listen, there's some things in your life that are going to have to change. And if they don't, you won't be married very long. It's just that simple. There's some things in your life that have got to be different. As Christians, if we're going to claim the name of Christ, there's some things in our life that ought to be different. The people who know us best say we have submitted ourselves to the will of our Father. You're here today and you don't know Christ. He's calling you this morning. He's speaking to your heart. He's begging you. He's pleading with you to submit, to give your life to Him, to allow Him to come into your heart, to save you, and to cleanse you of all your sin and unrighteousness. Some of you are Christians. You've given your heart to Him. But let's be honest, you've never really given Him control of your life. Are there any signs of submission in your life as we stand together?